Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's Cortinel. He scores! Cortinel's
feeding it! Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Hi again, everybody. Jungle Jim Jerome coming at you with another episode of The Suspendables. It's a podcast that Russ and I do each and every week. Russ Cortinel, 38-year NHL player. And we've been meeting all week, Russ, okay, with the powers that be, Reg, okay, our program director. And so we're going to try a couple of new things, all right? Apparently we're not getting many young people, Russ, on our show. And I'm going, well, that's because we're not young.
Yeah.
What a week it was in hockey. We're going to talk about a bunch of things. So what we're doing, Russ, is we're going to go with the three hot topics, okay, in hockey. And one of them just broke yesterday. Racism rears its ugly head in a couple of incidences over the last 10 days. We're going to talk about that. We need your opinion. Your son was on the ice for one of them. Evander Kane. Everyone's passing him over, Russ. You know the story. He's been in all sorts of trouble. Suspended. San Jose doesn't want him anymore. And everyone's talking about whether a team should pick him up or not, whether he's allowed. One of the other great topics was my buddy, Jim Matheson, longtime reporter, Hall of Fame reporter.
Mr. Pissy, as he's now called.
Right. So the story is he's asking Draisaitl. The Oilers are in the tank. They're going nowhere. They're a bunch of losses. Draisaitl's being interviewed. And you have to be, right, Russ? I think that's part of the...
Yeah, I don't think you can avoid it.
Right. So he's being interviewed. Draisaitl short answers him after Matheson says, what do you guys need to fix? Okay. And Draisaitl goes, everything. And then Matheson kind of...
No, he said, what's one thing?
And he... No, then Matheson said, can you expand on that? Can you give us, you know, what one thing? And he said, no, everything. And you know everything, Draisaitl said to him.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if we can play the clip here, Stevie, or not. Can we do that?
Is there one thing that you, in your own mind, you're saying, we got to get better at that?
Yeah, we have to get better at everything.
Would you like to expand on that?
Nope. You can do that. You know everything.
Why are you so pissy, Leon? Why are you so pissy?
I'm not. I'm just answering your
question. Yeah, you are. Whenever I ask you a question.
I gave you an answer.
Not very good one.
Okay.
Well, I have one more for you. Leon, you show your frustration on the ice last game against Ottawa. Is that a good thing when you show it so the other team knows you're frustrated?
Yeah, it's a great thing, for sure.
Be with me all the time. We're going to talk about that and many other things. One of them too, Rusty. Connor McDavid, you've always said, can't win alone.
Right.
Speaking of Draisaitl, the two of them, they can't do it. They've gone for a complete shit. And now I'm reading headlines. People are saying, is it time that Connor steps up and says, get me out of here?
Ooh.
They're starting to float that.
What did Mess have to say about it when you had him on?
Well, he did. We didn't talk too much about it, actually. By the way,
thanks. Missed opportunity by you.
Oh, see?
Fuck, I go on holidays and you fuck up.
Why are you so loud right now? Shut up. So anyway, those three things, racism, Evander Kane, the whether the reporter should be able to do that or not, and a bunch of other stuff. Maybe even we'll get to Connor McDavid and get your thoughts. We want all your thoughts on that and a lot more. By the way, you're just fresh back. You hit us last week. The reason you weren't on the show is Mess, we've been trying to get on for, I don't know, 7 years, and he's super busy, and he said yes, but you took off to Hawaii at the last minute.
Yeah.
Let's go. Tell us about that. You were there for a week.
Yeah, I went to see my Maui dad, Part Erdman, that I've talked a lot about on the show. He's 90 now, so I wanted to go see him. And then there was a lot of members there that I met through McKenna, either selling them property or them buying and becoming friends. So there was lots, there's some great golf, easy for me to say, some great golf rounds of fun and laughter. Few good shots, but not by me really. A couple Alberta boys that were there, Bart Yakimik and Bob Harms.
Yeah, I know Bart.
Both in the car business in Edmonton, and Jamie Harms is there, and he's a huge fan of ours and listens to every show. His dad doesn't listen to one, and he said that's not because he doesn't like us. It's just he's not a podcast guy. So right. I had some fun with them, a couple dinners, and we had a lot of laughs, but ran into a lot of people. George Melvo, who used to own Boston Pizza with Jim Treliving. Now he owns Mr. Lube, and he's a huge supporter of my charity event. Adam Sandler's a member there. Ran into Adam. In fact, I almost ran Adam over on Sunday. So I was there Monday to Monday, and I went up to get something at the golf club and was heading down to the beach club, and I was reading my text, which you shouldn't be doing in a car, moving vehicle.
No, of course not.
And I get this, hey, and I look up and it's Adam Sandler and his two girls, his daughter and her friend, I think. So I pull over to the right. I was way in his side of the lane, and then I pull over to the right and he leans out like he's in character and just kind of gives me a laugh. It was so funny. And anyways, there's a lot. Did I mention Jeff Bezos was there?
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, he was at the beach club watching football games, and he came to the property every day. I did not. I've met his girlfriend, Lauren Sanchez. She was a member with her ex-husband. Now Jeff Bezos has been in the paper. He bought a lot of real estate in Maui. Guess how he arrives every day at the golf club? In his helicopter.
Space shuttle?
In his helicopter. Oh,
of course he does.
This black helicopter you've never seen before. So he was there every other day, or I don't know how many days he was there when I was there, but he was there. It was a lot of fun. It was interesting. Saw a lot of good old friends. I spent 3.5 years in Maui, so it was a great trip. And sorry I missed the show with Mess. It would have been good to catch up. I've texted with Mark a little bit, but I haven't talked to him in a long time.
Well, it was great. If you live under a rock, Jeff Bezos, of course, is Amazon. And my favorite story about that is he got divorced, right?
Yeah. And
they always said, in one foul swipe of the pen, okay, getting divorced made his wife one of the richest people in America.
Yeah, and the richest woman in the world, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Something crazy like that. Speaking of Mess, thanks a lot. We did get him on. I mentioned that at the top of the show. I read his book. It's called No One Wins Alone, which, Rusty, you would love that title. Speaking of Connor and Drysdale and these guys who can't win alone. And I'll tell you what, Russ, because I want to ask you about this. That book I thought would be, he's won 6 Stanley Cups. And I've got sports books, and I've read lots of them over my life. And generally, they're by really successful athletes, hence a book, you know, that guys write. And a lot of them sort of break down the Super Bowl victory, the amount of cups we won, the games, the playoff series, the blah, 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 blah. But Mark's book is not like that at all. In fact, most of the book is he talks about these relationships he made over his whole career, what they meant to him. But a lot of it is how mind over matter kind of won a bunch of this stuff, and sort of the mental side of the game. And he goes on at length about it, certainly in the book, and he did it in the interview. And he spent very little time, Russ, talking about the victories and the games. In fact, he would almost go, well, you know, we got down, we lost that first game, but we went on to win the series, and then we won the cup that year. Now, on to what let me tell you about Mike Richter. Let me tell you about Mark Lamb.
Yeah.
And it was really cool, really cool. A really sort of introspective Mark Messier about life and combining physical and mental and all that stuff. And obviously, it's a big part of the game, Rusty, and not all about skill and talent.
He was an amazing leader, and it doesn't surprise me. I got to play with Mark Canada Cup. We won, and then I got to play with him in New York, and we didn't. We lost in the semifinals to Philadelphia, and he was in tears after the game. Like, he was just so distraught that we lost, and we had such a good team, but we just ran out of players due to injuries, and they beat us. But he was, when as soon as I walked in the room the first time, he was, you could just tell it was his team, and Gretz was there too. And Gretz is a phenomenal leader too, in a different way. Mm-hmm. But Mark took one of the things that will stay with me is that he took the two weakest players in the team. And I shouldn't use weakest, but two of the guys that didn't play a lot, they're tough guys, so they didn't get a lot of ice time. And he gave them the warm-up. So they were in charge of our warm-up, getting the guys ready. And if you didn't follow what they said, all of a sudden Moose would be in your face going, hey, they're the captains of the warm-up. Fucking follow it, you know, get in and follow what's going on. And he gave them that, and it became theirs. And they felt like they were getting ready for the game, but they were getting us ready for the game. And they just felt like they were such a huge part. And in Mark's eyes, that's what his team was. From the bottom guy to the top guy, everybody had a role. And he was just phenomenal.
You know, you've hit it on the head. You've hit the nail on the head that his whole deal was, how do I include everyone on the team, no matter who you are?
And the trainers, too. Trainers were huge on his list. Don't disrespect a trainer because Mark, you're going to have a meeting with Mark.
Well, it's true. Yeah. It's true. He called the trainers part of the team, not and also.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, no, they are part of the team. And God, great. Go back and listen to the interview, by the way. Barry Stafford was a longtime equipment manager. And Moose told this story about Paul Coffey insisted that he had fresh laces every game. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Moose goes, we were on a tight budget. The team was on a tight budget. So Barry Stafford used to take out his old laces, wash them, and then repackage them and put them back in. And Koff kind of caught him on it one day. And Mark goes on to tell that Barry Stafford had Paul Coffey up against the wall, yelling and screaming at him and mess backed up Stafford, great interview. Thanks a lot, Mark. And you'll get to hear sort of a different side about being a great athlete. So let's go first with what broke yesterday. Stevie, give us the background on this. Jacob Panetta was in a game, I think, for the East Coast Hockey League, and got in a fight with Subban, Subban's brother, PK Subban's brother, and ended up apparently gesturing, making a racist gesture, pretending he was a monkey. Okay, is the take on this? Does that sound right, Stevie? Do I got all that right?
Yeah, I got the whole thing. So it's the guy's name, as you mentioned, Jacob Panetta, and he plays for Jacksonville in the East Coast League. They're taking on South Carolina. That's the team that Russ's son Lawton plays for. Panetta takes issue with a South Carolina player who bumped his goalie, and then Jordan Subban, who's black, whipped over to get in Panetta's face. The linesman got between them, and Panetta is now being accused of making racist gestures towards Subban. So the refs kick him out. His team has now released him. Team USA has now released him from the Olympic team. Yes. Panetta's put out an apology video saying he was trying to get in Subban's kitchen for not being tough and basically making sarcastic bodybuilder gestures. So that's where we stand.
Right. Have you spoken a lot about it, Russ?
Yes. Yeah. I talked to him right after the game. And he said it was crazy. And he said that he was standing, you can see Lawton standing on the ice while they're jostling. And you can see the reaction of Subban and then the fans, and it's crazy and terrible. And then today I I watched before our show, I watched the apology from the player involved. Mm-hmm. And he says he was making a bodybuilder, like a weight, a body, you know, the belt,
wrestling,
like wrestling belt, yeah, or whatever, yeah. Not the monkey, impersonation that he's accused of. And he did say, and he said, I did not, use a racial slur. So he's defending himself, and I quickly sent it to Lawton, and cause he's on the ice. And I said, well, if the, you know, if he didn't say this, then the refs who were right there will know and can defend him. And he goes, well, we'll find out. So that's kind of where it's at, because the referees are right there. If he said something, mm-hmm. if he used the N word or whatever, the referees are going to be able to say, yes, he did, or no, he didn't. Mm-hmm. And so we'll find out that the belt thing is, he's saying he's got video of him doing it to other players. You know, when you listen to his apology, it's authentic and it seems real, mm-hmm. and everything. But I think what will help him is if the referees come out and say, he did not say that word, or this is what he said. And then the whole belt thing, I guess that'll have to be argued, you know, with the league and the players. But you can see by Jordan Subban's reaction that something was said that upset him, or the gesture upset him. And so
in the video, if you watch it through its to its entirety, the PA announcer, because usually for something like that, you'd hear something generic like, you know, unsportsmanlike conduct. They actually said 10-minute misconduct for a racial gesture.
Yeah.
So that to me sounds like the referee saw what he saw and he determined, yeah, that was exactly what that was. And Subban has every right to be upset by that.
It's horrible. The whole thing is horrible. But then the fans' reaction after the announcer says that it was a racial gesture, the fans are going crazy and not in a positive way. Mm-hmm. So... Mm-hmm. I don't, the whole thing, like Lawton was so upset. His coaches talked to him before the next game, because that was at away game. And then they went back to South Carolina and they wanted to make sure he was okay. And he said, Jordan Subban got up before the game and he says, look, let's not just let this be a distraction. We've got 2 points to go out there and get, so let's go play the game. And Lawton said it was a great speech before the game, and they went out and they ended up winning the next night, I think 6-3. But right. But this has got a lot of attention, and you know, it's going to bring a lot of attention for an unfortunate shitty thing. But it's something we need to keep talking about, is this, you know, racism in sports and in regular life, and people just need to talk about it, because we got to get rid of it. It's horrible.
Yeah. It's like, what is this? The 1900s, you know, early 1900s. You know, it's an understatement, Russ, to say this is a really serious stuff, you know, that obviously still goes on. Innocent, I guess, till proven guilty, but assuming for a second he does, you know, get called up on the carpet, and everyone comes to the decision that, dude, you made a racist gesture. What happened? What would you do with the player then, Russ, at that point? Did he get 30 games?
I think he's indefinitely. So they're trying to figure out what, I think they're investigating it. If he did what he's accused of doing, I think they should just kick him out of hockey.
No second chance here. No.
Fuck him.
All right, man.
I've seen firsthand what a kid said to my son, what it did to him. And if anyone ever saw that, what happened to Lawton happened to their own child, they'd feel the exact same way as me. It's fucking horrific. It's painful. It stabs you right in the fucking heart, and it's disgusting. And there's no place for it.
Right.
So if you're going to act like that, then you should be treated accordingly. And that, if that kid did say the N word and he did make the gestures that he's accused of, I would And you know what? You don't even have to suspend him for life. If a kid does that, don't sign him. Nobody should sign him.
Right.
You give second chances to guys with drug problems and mental health issues and alcoholism and self-inflicted wounds that they're battling. But, you know, Bob Probert was the king of getting second chances. And you know, he just battled, he battled, but it was his own demons. And this stuff is just disgusting when somebody does that to another human being. And I watched the kids, you know, the whole social media, his pleading saying, you know, I didn't do it. And he's very believable. I like the video. I like what he's saying. I like everything he's saying. But, you know, they're going to come to a conclusion whether he said it or he did it. And I don't know. But, you know, he's saying he wasn't raised like that. He didn't do it. And it looks like he's telling the truth. So I'm not. But if he did, then I would just say, fuck, he's done.
Yeah, you know, no tolerance.
Well, and if you take somebody down like that and say you cannot play hockey in this league ever again because of what you did, I mean, it's going to end in a set. No one's ever going to do it again because they don't want to freaking lose their livelihood. Even if they think like that, they're going to stop. It took years to get headhunting out of hockey because of the penalizing and the fining, and they did it. But if they had went more extreme and fined players more and maybe suspended them longer, then it would have ended quicker. They can end this. They're just going to have to end it harshly with taking really hard stance against this.
Just a reminder, if you'd like to connect online with Russ or Jimmy or engage with them on social media, find out how at thesuspendables.com.
You know, you'd mentioned about who should get second chances, and you'd mentioned, you know, three or four reasons why, and I agree, you know, with substance abuse issues or mental health issues that cause these guys to behave a certain way. You know, Evander Kane, and now it's well documented, Evander Kane has had plenty of issues in his life, some very accusatory about his relationship with his wife or ex-wife, gambling problems, not paying debts. He broke COVID protocol and got suspended for that, for lying about being vaccinated. So much so, all this shit that came down with this guy that San Jose is going, we don't want him part of the team anymore. And he's up for grabs, Rusty. What comes into this are these personal problems in his relationship and his marriage, which sound very ugly when you read about him. I don't know how much proof is given to them yet, but it's certainly out there that everyone's talking about it. What about Evander Kane, Russ? What do we do? And what complicates it more, whether you like it or not, is he's really good.
Yeah.
He's really talented.
Well, I've heard,
what would you do, Russ?
I've heard about his gambling problems, for years. I'm from Victoria. He's from Vancouver area. And I was told when they opened the new casino in Vancouver, he was losing quite a bit of money the first weekend they were open. So I've never met him. I know what kind of hockey player he is. The accusations being made by his wife are, I don't know a lot about that, but they don't, you know, they obviously sound awful. I don't know if anything's been proven, but we do know he has a serious gambling problem. I think he did claim bankruptcy because of it. You know, on the, like, if you can separate the two, what he's, I don't know if you can, because it just seems to follow him. You're taking a chance on a player that has a cloud over him, and you're going to bring him in amongst some of your own players and young players. And is he going to be helpful? I've learned, here's the mistakes I've made, and here's what I can help you not make the mistakes I made, and I want to continue my career. You really have to do your homework as a general manager to make sure you're not bringing in somebody who's still got these ongoing issues. That's a tough one. You don't want to influence your young players with a bad apple.
Well, here's one side of it. You know, everyone's got their shit, man. Well, everyone has their shit.
Fuck yeah. I agree.
So, and I remember you might have even been there when this stuff gets out there and starts to be, you know, floated around. You know, let's use this example. And I'm sitting around with a bunch of hockey players. I might have been in Vegas, Russ, at one of the Gretzky camps. Mm-hmm. And so this thing would come up, and very often, you know, you say, okay, well, Evander Kane is this. Mm-hmm. This is what this guy's done. Yeah. This is what he's like with his wife. 9 times out of 10, Russ, 3 or 4 of the guys are on the table and go, well, not just him. Mm-hmm. What about this guy that I played with? What about this guy? He did this, he did this, he did this. And they're not out to bury these guys, but they're making the point that, you know, this guy's not alone.
Nope.
Like, don't separate this guy from the rest of the league, because otherwise you're going, every other player's perfect. And if you're not perfect, you're not playing. You know, does that make sense, Russ?
Yeah, I mean, there's always characters, and sometimes guys have it under control. Teams know about their issues, but he comes to play every night. He doesn't miss a practice. And yeah, he's got these issues that everybody knows about, but he hasn't crossed the line of, you know, it's affecting mm-hmm. his game. So San Jose got rid of a good player, but why did they just get rid of him because of those, or was it a finance? Do they just not want to pay him because it's financial savings for them? I don't, mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much probably in more to it than we know. Maybe the teammates don't like him. I don't know. Like maybe they are like, hey, coach, we don't want this guy on our team, but maybe that's not public. I don't know. But
right.
You're right. There's characters on every single team. Dave Semenko used to get fined all the time for different things by the team. And apparently at the end of the year, this was prior to being, you would get fined $1 million if you got caught doing this today. But before this fine was implemented, he would get suspensions and team fines, and Sather would keep all the money in an envelope. And then at the end of the year, the rumor is, or the story is, that he would give it back to him. But you can't do that now, because if you're caught as a team reimbursing a player for on-ice fines, then they get fined, I think it's $1 million. And that was implemented quite a long time ago in when I was playing, because, you know, tough players would get fined, you know, 10 grand, 5 grand for doing something, sticking up for their teammates, maybe third man in or mm-hmm. fighting or doing something bad. Team league would fine them. The team would just give them back the money. So it never ended. It just, you know, those fines, like, oh, I'll do whatever because I know my team's going to give me back the money. So the league found out about that and they ended it.
How about now? It's like a $5,000 maximum or something.
Ovi got
fined for 5 grand. It's like he's got that in his fucking shoe. Yeah, 5 grand.
Well, it's good for the retired players, because I think it goes to help out players that need help. So the old players watching are loving it.
Right. Of course. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, another story that came out. Jim Matheson, reporter for lives
Mr.
here in Edmonton,
Pissy.
Hall of Fame. Mr. Pissy is the story. If you've been living under a rock, you wouldn't have heard about this, but I think everyone has. We played the clip at the top of the show. The guts of it is Matheson gets pissed off with Drysdale giving him a short answer, and then he says, "You know everything." Drysdale says,
"That's great.
Why don't you do it?"
Yeah.
And Matheson gives it the, "Why are you so pissy with me?
Yeah.
Why are you so pissy?" So it's been a riot watching the comments. In social
media. Is there one thing you can tell us that you guys need to fix? And he goes, "Everything," something like that.
Yeah, that's how it started, right? You don't see it very often, Rusty. You don't. I was talking to Stevie about it, going, you know, I guess I don't blame these journalists once in a while that if they snap, it's such a tough gig to get answers out of players. It's hard to ask a different question than everybody else. It, you know, some of the post game shit is, to me, you know what you're getting. It's very predictable. You know, it's very predictable. And what do you expect a player to say? Everyone is asking for Matheson's head. Okay. Almost everyone except me. I think the guy should.
Oh, he's your buddy.
He's my buddy, and I think he should get a pass. I think he just, you know, snapped on the guy, and it was, the exchange was hilarious. But lots of people got really serious about it, saying, oh, you're making it about you, are you, Matheson?
Yeah.
You know, it's the number one rule in reporting is don't bring your own name into the stories. But what'd you think of the whole thing, Russ?
You know, you're in that situation where you're just losing. He's one of the best players in the world, and you got this freaking reporter, you know, needling him with these questions. And the last question was like, I got one more question for you. And it was something like, you know, you're showing your frustration. Do you think that's a good thing? And he goes, yeah, it's a great thing. Like,
it's a great thing.
He was just like, it was kind of funny. And I don't know. I there's been reporters where you don't have a relationship with and you don't like. There's one in every city, and every player has one. And obviously they don't see eye to eye. And here you have a team that's underperforming and one of the best players, and they can't figure it out. And so it's frustrating. And then you get these freaking questions that, like, oh God, I got to stand in front of the media now and answer why we're losing and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And it gets old. I mean, it's fun when you're winning, because everybody, you know, the reporters can write all this great stuff, and players are answering questions, no problem. But when you're in a hot market for any sport and you're losing, they're going to hammer you, and it's ugly, and it's no fun. And so there you have it. I mean, there's a reporter not having any fun getting shit on by a player, and a player
short answer.
Yeah. And a player just going, get me off this freaking stage. I want to get out of here. I don't want to talk to these people anymore.
If he had a do-over, I guess, you know, he might answer him differently, I guess, or give him the, you know, we got to work on this and our power, blah, 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 blah. So any part of your Russ thinks he was wrong, Drysdale?
I think he could have went, I think he could have got a little more like, well, you know, I know, you know it, like he did say something like, well, you have all the answers or something to Matheson. Like you know everything, you'll just write whatever. I think he could have been a little, he could have expanded on his you know, shots at him. Like, I thought he could have done I thought he could have done what he did, but expand on it. Like, you've been writing, you know, you've been following us. You know exactly what we should do. Why don't you write exactly what we should do? We'll read it tomorrow, and then we'll go out and win a game. Something like that. Like, he should have had more fun with it. Not that losing is fun, but I think he should have expanded on his shots at this guy. Like, he should have told him what he should be doing. And then, you know, I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated out here, as frustrated as I'm in here having to freaking talk to you. That's what I would do as a do-over. I would have had more ammunition.
Yeah, a little more fun with it, right? Yeah. Or you can just do what Tortorella does. And when Larry Brooks asked him a question, they hated each other.
Yeah.
And Tortorella, I don't know, what was that quote? Oh, yeah. Fuck off.
but Torts was always ready with ammunition to hammer back. Like, he was there ready to fire back. Where a player, I don't think he's really standing up there going, okay, when they ask me this, I'm going to start. Where Torts was ready. And that's why he was probably so funny, and so many good quotes from him. Why do you just give it back to guys?
50 games left still, by the way, in the NHL. God. Just
is that
just,
all?
People are talking like it's the last week, with calling for heads and trades and firings and everything. And you need to look no further than me hometown here, Edmonton. And they want Tippett now. They've gone for shit, right?
The Oilers, yeah, they're
the second week we've talked about it. And they've gone crank in the tank. You've been vocal, Russ, about, you know, Connor on one of our shows. You said Connor's selfish, and you don't mean that in a good way.
And I don't mean that over, and I should backtrack a little bit. I said, I watched the game against New York Islanders, and he's out there and he's being selfish by staying out on the ice too long. I don't watch Connor McDavid play hockey every night, so I don't want to brand him as he's always been selfish. But you're not going to win by being selfish right now in a losing streak by staying out on the ice for 2 minutes of a 5 minute overtime by yourself and then go off the ice for 15 seconds. He's back out and he's hurting his team because there's other guys who are capable.
Good article I read today where now they're starting to float this idea of is Connor going to demand a trade? Will he be traded? No, he's loyal. He's going to sign a big ticket here. No, he'll stay here forever. That's why they gave him the big money, all that stuff. And you know, the article went on to say, well, you just don't trade away those guys. And then the guy said, oh, yeah?
Yeah, how about Wayne Gretzky?
Yeah. Mark Messier?
Yeah.
Mark Messier, Wayne Gretzky, yeah. Paul Coffey, Yari Curry.
Grant Fuhrer.
Okay, Grant Fuhrer.
On Eric Lindros. I mean.
Yeah, what the guys I just mentioned are all for the Oilers.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, of the one team. What's going on here, Rusty? What do you do if you're Connor, if you're his agent? If you're the coach, you know, do they get rid of the GM now? They finally won, actually. Thank God. They won the other night 5-3 against Calgary this past week.
Like, I think the best coach in the world is John Cooper. And there was a period of time there where Tampa was kind of like teetering, you know, and then he went away that summer and reinvented himself. He learned a few things and they just keep getting better, and you just see how calm he is behind the bench, and players love him, and mm-hmm. and they just keep winning. And I don't know, I hear is a great coach, but you know, somehow, some way, John Cooper gets everybody to play a certain way and feel important, and they're all mm-hmm. pulling on the same line. And I don't know, man, I just. Edmonton, when I watched that game against New York, I'm like, there lies the problem.
One of the great excerpts from Mess's book, and I said, I can't wait to tell Rusty this because it's hilarious, is one of the players skates over to the guy at the just before they're going to drop the puck, you know, and he goes to his centerman and says, where should I position myself? And the guy says, in the dressing room.
Oh my God. Did he name the players?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was
who was it?
I don't know. I forget who it was. Yeah, I forget. I think it was his days as a Ranger. Someone where the guy didn't like the guy. And another great story is he's driving as, you know, he talks about, you know, for first two, three chapters about this relationship he had with his dad. And Dougie was great. You know, he's cool stories about his.
Yeah, Dougie Messier. Was great.
And they're driving. Of course, Mess and Gretz came in into the hockey, pro hockey at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. They were young. And Gretz was a phenom, of course, but Mark was fighting his way through. And Mark says, I'm driving home. You know, my dad's sitting beside me in the passenger seat. And I asked my dad, hey, Dad, do you think I'm as good as Wayne Gretzky? And there's a long pause, and Doug says, just turn right up here. doesn't answer him. Anyway, good stuff. So we'll stay on top of all that, those stories. Let's see what happens with Evander Kane. We'll follow this story about the kids being suspended, and I'm going to tune in for more press conferences with Draisaitl. Rusty, NFL, greatest week. They're saying the greatest week in playoffs in maybe all time in the NFL. I don't know if you watched any of the games. They were last second, not driving last minute quarters. They were last second wins. The KC game in Buffalo was off the charts, Rusty.
Yeah.
20 plus points, 24 or 5 points in the last 2 minutes of the game. Yeah. Okay. Which ended up in a tie. And so you go to overtime. And the rule in NFL is whoever gets possession, you win the coin toss. Everyone wants to receive. If you go down and score a field goal, well, the other team gets the ball and gets a chance to come back and score. And if they do, a tie, you keep going. And if they get a touchdown, you win. The really odd rule, Russ, is if you get first possession and you score a touchdown, game's over. Okay.
Stupid rule.
The team does not get a chance to get the ball. And people are kind of freaking out about it today that they got to change that rule. What do you think? Did you watch it? Did you watch the KC game?
So I went, Andrew Whitworth, number 77 left tackle, offensive lineman, I mean, for the Rams. He's become a good friend, and Harris remodeled their home for them. So we've really got to know them. They live here in Sherwood, and he's injured. So I text him the day before the game, you know, good luck. I know you're not playing. And he goes, what are you doing tomorrow? I said, nothing. And he goes, come over. So another buddy's coming over, family. And I went over and watched the game with him and his family and another family. And we just had a blast. So we're cruising, right? The Rams got the big lead. We are cruising. There's no, you know, we're having conversations.
27-3, by the way.
Yeah, was
the
27-3 okay. Against the Bucks and yeah. Brady. And then they come roaring back. And then it got tense. It got so freaking tense. And he had to leave. Like, he was lying on the couch outside watching it on their patio. And then he disappeared. So he went in a room by himself to watch the rest of the game. And then we were, oh my God, the neighbors must have went nuts because we were screaming and yelling at the TV. And it just was, it awful went from such a relaxing game to like high intensity, but it was a huge win and happy for them. And I think he's going to hopefully play next week. And they invited us to go see the game. So we're probably going to go to the game next weekend.
You're probably going to go to the game?
Yeah, I'm not. I live
in L.A. What, are you fucking new? You're not going to go?
Yeah, I'm a terrible fan that way. I love my house. I love my TVs. I like watching the game at home. And I'm not a fan of the traffic to go to a game. Like, I never go to the Kings games and I get free tickets.
You're getting old, man.
No, I've been like that since I retired. I just don't. I'm not a big retired from hockey. I just don't like the traffic. And anyways, because they really want us to go to the game and they have an awesome box, so we're all hanging out. Right. It'll be fun. But I've done it once this year with them for his first, for the opening game. I went to the, we went, and it's a full day affair.
Sure. Sure. But fun, anyways, man.
I know people are going to go, you asshole, you get to go to the game, but that's just who I am. I like sitting at home watching it on TV, and it's closer to the fridge too. You just a few steps away from cold drinks.
Did you ever like the, do you like the outdoor games, Russ? The NHL?
Yeah, I played in three of the alumni games. So I played in the first one in Edmonton. I played in Calgary, and then I played in Detroit. So I played, played for Montreal twice and Toronto alumni once. So I thought the whole thing was great.
Edmonton, right? Is that what you said? Edmonton?
Yeah.
You played?
The first one was in Edmonton. The second one I played in was Calgary. The third one I played in was in Detroit. And it was great. I mean, I think it's a one-off, you know, it's one time a year for, you know, maybe it was one in Canada, one in the U.S., but
right,
it's great. I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome for hockey. I think it draws fans that aren't normally hockey fans to see it. And then who knows, maybe they'll fall in love with the game.
Question from the home office after hearing your take about, I'm not going to go to the Rams game. I don't feel like it. Maybe you didn't understand, Rusty, the Super Bowl is in Los Angeles.
I know.
What happens then?
I won't be going to the Super Bowl. The tickets are too expensive. So
no, if the guy invites you, your Whitworth buddy there. Okay?
Yeah, there's no way he's keeping his box.
You're too low on the list.
It's $25,000 a ticket for the box. There's no way he's paying $500,000 for the box for his private, you know.
Oh, sure he is.
No, he's not. On. No way.
All right.
But you never know.
One of the drags of getting older is great mentors in the sports world and great players in the sports world pass on. You would have been too young to play with this guy. No, maybe not.
No, I played against him.
Clark Gillies in New York, four-time Stanley Cup winner, went in the New York days, four in a row, by the way, yeah. Hall of Famer. Talk about him, Rusty. I'm looking at the dates and I go, yeah, Rusty was in there.
Yeah,
when
I,
of his career.
When I played against him, he was kind of like Dave Semenko, where he didn't have to fight a lot anymore. He just, you know, when he was on the ice, it was like, oh my God, there's Clark Gillies. His arms are longer than me. And, right. he was just a huge man for at that time and in the game. He was just a massive human being. So
tough.
Luckily,
as nails.
We didn't. Yeah, tough as nails. We didn't have to play them a lot. Toronto, when I played against him, I was in Toronto. He was in Long Island, and so I saw him a few times, but. You know, me not being a fighter, I sure stayed away from him.
Anyway, Rusty, you piled through in our new format of talking about current stories. So we got another show in the bank. My pet peeve, Russ.
Yeah.
Because we do videos, so I always talk about I put my teeth in for it. Okay. Uh-huh. All right. I got a back. What do you call it? I don't know. I don't know whatever it's called. I can pop it in and out. Dude hits me the other day, Russ. Okay, you can't do this, people. So I got a buddy I'm having lunch with at a restaurant, and he's got one tooth here, okay, that he clips in and out.
Yeah.
Okay? His front teeth, one of the big ones, the big chompers. Pulls it out, Russ.
Oh, that's gross. Don't.
What are people doing, Russ? It's not the first time. It's like, Jimmy, do you mind? Pulls the thing out, holds it up. And then sets it on the fucking table. And I'm like,
what a fuck. You got to get new friends.
I do. First of all, I can hardly stand looking at a guy without his front tooth.
Who does that?
Never mind. Taboo, baby. Do not put your teeth on the table.
What? God, and I shit on my friends who pick their teeth after dinner at the table.
Oh, really? You're a little twitchy?
You got friends who are
twitchy about that?
Go to the bathroom and do it. Private. Don't be picking your freaking food out of your teeth when you're sitting there after dinner. It's gross. Fuck, have some manners. I bet you that fucking guy's single too.
Yeah, he's...
I'll just throw it out there.
Yeah, we're going to do that. We're thinking of doing our own series of not Bachelor. Okay, just...
Yeah.
Losers. It's just called losers, the thing.
Jeez.
Rusty, let's get out of here. What are you doing the rest of the week, man?
Gonna golf this week. I got
morning golf.
And just the weather's starting to warm up down here. So it's all good.
Thanks a lot, everyone, for tuning in. Give us your opinions on Evander Kane and maybe what you think of the Drysdale issue and of course, what else has happened over the week. We'd love to hear from you. You're going to get a hold of us, Russ. You're going to email us at thesuspendables@yahoo.com.
Oh, ring the buzzer.
I got it right. That's thesuspendables@yahoo.com. Go to our website, suspendables.com. There's a bunch of stuff up there. We'd love to hear from you. Next week, I'm going to do some shout outs. We're going to read a bunch of emails too from everybody when we get them. So Dawson, my boy Dawson, I talked to this week. I think he's listening from Iowa. He's a farmer, played hockey down there, and him and I have a connection with what both our families have gone through, and I talked to him at length. He's a big fan of the show, wanted me to say hello to you. So, Dawson, thanks for tuning in, buddy. Take care, everybody. Rusty, we're going to talk to you next week with another episode of The Suspendables. See you later, man.
Jamie Harms, don't be going out there trying to erase that tattoo that you got while you're drunk either.
Oh, there we go. Nice. We'll find out about that. Take it easy, Rusty. See you later.
See ya.
Thanks for being with us. Please be sure to subscribe to The Suspendables today and share the show with your friends and followers. And find out everything you need to know about the show on our brand new website, thesuspendables.com.